Oh, man. Well, glory. How many of us have been looking forward to this day? Amen. How many of us are looking beyond this day? Amen. I don't know what that means to you, what that looks like to you, but I want to talk this morning about looking ahead. I want to talk about getting our focus off the here and now, although our focus needs to be on the here and now, but it can't only be on the here and now. Amen? We got to have some idea of vision. We got to have some idea of beyond today, of what does tomorrow hold. Am I planning for tomorrow, or am I just living in the moment? And I got to confess, most of my life has been spent living just for the moment. How many of you know if you just live for the moment, you're going to end up in big trouble? Because what you might do in the moment might have repercussion down the road that you're not prepared to face. Amen? So I just want to talk about looking ahead. What does it mean to look ahead? Amen? If you just stare at the road in front of you when you're driving a car, you'll never know the danger that's down the road. Amen? I've drove, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of miles in a truck, but I learned a long time ago, don't just look over the end of the hood. Look as far down the road as you can. And people always think, well, if I'm looking clear down the road, how am I going to stay in my lane? If you'll look down the road, try this going home. Look as far down the road as you can, and you won't have a problem staying in your lane. It's just true. So we have to look ahead. We got to be looking ahead. And if you are looking ahead, you will see upcoming dangers that you won't see just looking over the end of the hood. And so turn with me this morning to Hebrews chapter 13. The writer of the book of Hebrews begins to close this epistle with his writing with a series of exhortations. Amen. To be exhorted, to be encouraged. And I'm going to read the whole chapter. So just hang in there. If you would, I'm going to ask if you're there, stand to your feet as we read this chapter. Hebrews chapter 13. Let me wet my whistle before we get started. Hebrews chapter 13, starting in verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. That's a great exhortation. Amen? Let brotherly love continue. We ought to love one another. That's what next Sunday is all about, right? We're going to have some food, but there's conversation. I'm supposed to be reading, I know that, but I'm just going to preach for a minute. There's something that happens across a table, across a plate of food. It breaks down barriers and walls and allows what we're talking about to be in place. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers. For by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them. Those who are mistreated. Since you yourselves are in the body also, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How many of you are grateful for that right now? He is the same yesterday, today, and He's going to be the same tomorrow. His provision of salvation doesn't wear out. Amen? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be, and this is important. If it isn't underlined, you need to underline this in your Bible. Do not be carried away or about with various and strange doctrines. Listen, if it does not line up with God's Word, that's why I encourage you, don't come to church without bringing your Bible. I don't care if it's on your telephone or on your iPad or if you bring a laptop. I don't care. We'll hook you up to our internet. And because you need to be able to see firsthand that what's being spoken is the truth. Because the truth of the matter is, I can put anything down. In fact, I have put all kinds of stuff down. I just give it to them back there. They just put it up. Bam, put it on the board. And if you just sit there and take for granted what I put up here is the truth and is gospel, then you run a risk of being led astray into strange doctrines and strange teaching. No, line it up. Five of you. Church, I'm not telling you that I'm not trustworthy. I'm trying my absolute best to be as trustworthy and as honest and as forthright as I can, even to the point of sometimes hurting people's feelings. But listen, you have to have firsthand information, and that book that you hold in your hand is firsthand. It's right there. It is for you. Now, where was I at? Chapter verse 9, do not be carried about with various and strange doctrine, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifice, God is well pleased. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. But I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you sooner. Now may the God of peace, who brought up the Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, who to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation, for I have written to you in a few words. Know that our brother Timothy has been set free, with whom I shall see you if he comes shortly. Greet all those who rule over you and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. Grace be to you all. Amen. Father, I pray right now, God, that as I endeavor to declare your word and the understanding of your word and to challenge your people, Lord, I pray, God, that you would anoint me. I pray, God, that you would guide me, that you would speak through me. I pray your anointing on your people. I pray, God, nobody can leave this house today the same way we came in. But God, draw us closer to you. God, make us more like you. Lord, impart wisdom into us that we can take outside of this building, Lord, and share it with those that need it. Lord, we never know, according to what we just read, when we just might be entertaining an angel unaware. So God, use us, I pray, use this message in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. You may be seated. Christians love their families, or at least we certainly ought to. Amen? Christians love their spouses. We oftentimes love our jobs. I can't say that I've never had a job that I didn't love. I actually did. My dad, bless his heart, got me a job in a machine shop right out of high school, in a fabricating shop, running a welder, and my, was that ever fun. If you like watching grass grow, it's just the ticket. Resurfacing rock crusher jaws is not my idea of a good time. Just saying. But every day that I worked in the woods, I have to say I loved my job. But we love our families, our spouses, our jobs, and I pray that you love this church, not just because of the church, but because of what this church stands for, because of what this church represents, because of what this church is set here to do. Listen, if we're not here this morning just so you have something to do, someplace to go because it's Sunday morning. You are here this morning. Some, as I look across the congregation, have driven from afar. Amen. Some have driven farther than others. Some just drove around the corner. But you're here today, and I want you to know you're not here by accident. I want you to know that you are here because God has commissioned us and has mandated me specifically as the preacher, as the minister, as the shepherd of the sheep, to impart into you something that you can take outside of this building and impart it to other people. That, my job is to make you a disciple. Your job as a disciple is to go outside and make more disciples. Amen. Amen? That's the role that we're fulfilling here. And so I really do pray that you love this church. I pray that you pray for this church. I pray that you pray for the preacher. Because I need it. Listen, I've never felt more like I've got a bullseye on me than I ever have recently. Listen, the devil don't like me, and I know that. If you thought getting saved was going to help you and make your life like a box of chocolates, I got news for you. It might be like a box of chocolates, but on Christmas, I don't know about the rest of you, but sometimes we get a box of chocolates and you open them up and the kids have gotten to them. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I mean, you're like, I can't wait to get, and you open that thing up and they got finger holes in every one of them. The ones that don't have finger holes met the criteria of what they were looking for, and so they ate them. Am I preaching to anybody? I know it happens in your house. Yeah. Amen. Church, I pray that you would pray a hedge of protection over each one in this house. Over this worship team, over this, because the more we step out to do what God's called us to do, in looking ahead, did I tell you that's the message title? Did I tell you that? Looking ahead. We need your prayers. You need the prayers of the brethren. I need the prayers to cover me and to cover Tammy and to watch over us. Because, listen, if the devil wants to do anything, he wants to destroy our relationship. Because if he can tear that relationship down, all the rest of it just falls apart naturally. And so it's God, I covet your prayers. Our sights should be set ahead, beyond the horizon. And so Christians, you and I, church, listen, we are to be activists.
We're to be activists. We're to be invested in witnessing to a needy world. That's what Wednesday night is all about. I want to encourage you again. Please come to Wednesday night. If you have to whip wildcats with a willow switch, you need to be here on Wednesday night. I'm just saying, you need to be involved in discipleship 101 because you're going to be given tools to fulfill what God wants you to do outside of the church. Hello? Invested in witnessing to a needy world. But as activists, we also are to take frequent glances towards a promised community that is still to come. That's why I keep pointing out in that parking lot. Because what's on that wall, kind of, because we've changed that to some degree, is going to be it's going to come from the dream of the wall to the reality of the parking lot. Amen. And so that's my job at looking ahead is to keep that vision before you, to keep building excitement. That's why, when's the last time we painted the elephant? What? Are you giving me the peace sign or what are we doing? Since we updated the elephant? That we put pink on the elephant. Well, we need to get some pink on the elephant, and we need to get some red on the thermometer. Amen? We need to take another bite of the elephant. That's what that represents. Them pink. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Amen? That's what that elephant represents. I just believe it's going to happen. That's why I just keep pointing out there like it. I don't know where we're going to park when we start doing work out there, but you'll figure it out. We might have to park at Tommy's. I don't know. We can park across the street. Man, maybe we can get some golf carts and I'll drive one of them. Woo, you'd love to ride to church with the preacher in a golf cart. I promise you. Looking ahead, begin to visualize things. There's a promised community that is, how many of you can look ahead and see Myrtle Creek set free by the power of Almighty God? I mean, that's what we got to do. We got to begin to see our city saved and gloriously set free. Otherwise, we're just having a club meeting this morning. I don't want to be the club leader. I want to be kicking down the doors of hell, church. As we Christians are like gardeners and builders, shaping environments, turning weed pits into floral splendor, painting and patching and cleaning. But we know that God is building something far more beautiful and breathtaking for us. We're going to have a nice building out there, but it's not going to be a cathedral. It's not going to be filled with stained glass and blah, blah, all that stuff. It's going to be a functional house where anybody from the three-piece business suit to somebody that just crawled out from under the bridge. Amen? Amen. And church, we need to welcome both of those identities the same. We can't love the three-piece suit and just tolerate the bridge guy. We've got to love on the bridge guy, and the three-piece suit guy will just show up automatically. I promise you. We got to look ahead. We got to have vision beyond the end of our nose. As Christians, we ought to be characterized by looking forward to the future. Some of us don't know what the future holds. I don't know what it holds either in absolutes, but I by faith know what it holds. By faith, we're going to tear up the rocks out there and start pouring concrete and erect this 450 seat somewhere in that neighborhood. I hope it's already too small. I hope, because I've already been asked, well, have you left provision for how to add on to it? Yeah. Buy some more property and build another church somewhere else. keep this one going, send somebody else over to the next one. Does that sound like a good plan? I think it does. We ought to not love our... We should not love our present home so much that we lose sight of God's future blessing. So do our earthly pleasures and treasures keep us from seeking heavenly ones? Are we so concerned with the physical and the here and now that we don't dare look at what God might be calling me to do in the spiritual realm? This final chapter that we just read, it represents a series of exhortations that regard our social and our private and our religious lives. Let me tell you something. Our social life, our private life, and our religious life ought to blend perfectly together. You better not be living one way socially and privately and another way spiritually and religiously. It ought to be one, because I got news for you. You're going to be judged. What is integrity? Integrity is doing the right thing all the time, even when nobody's watching you. Changes in industrial development, transportation methods, and electronic technology have crescendoed throughout the decades. But let me tell you something. Jesus Christ has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. What He said He'd do, He'll do. I just believe that. I just simply believe it. We have created some remarkable items, but nothing can compare or will ever approach the majesty of the creation of God. Think about that. Have you ever been to the Grand Canyon? How cool is that?
I'll do the preaching.
When's the last time you went to the coast? When's the last time you made a trip to the mountains? Just take a look around. That's God's creation. When's the last time you looked in a mirror? That's God's creation. He created you. He created you.
Did I do something? Well, let me just touch on that. Because the same God that created the Grand Canyon and the ocean and the trees and the rivers and the streams and the lakes and all those things that we find so beautiful also created every one of you and I in His image and in His likeness. That doesn't mean we look like God. It just means He wired us and He built us just the way He wants us. So if you got a problem with that, go talk to Him about it. Amen? Jesus is not changed. The changeless Christ remains both our great high priest and the perfect sacrifice, regardless of how far industrial manufacturing methods have developed. How fast can we travel from one place to another in the future, or how rapidly we can process information in a computer in the years to come? All of us need to understand that there still is a simple need of salvation that is only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Period. They're preparing us for all kinds of weird stuff, church. I don't know if you know that. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I'm not stupid either. I'm not blind to what's going on in our society. I mean, what's that Alexa thing? Or is it Alexa sitting on the wall in the corner? Sucker listens to you all the time. You ever been just talking to somebody over a conversation, having a cup of coffee, and you're just talking about stuff? Break out your phone, flip it open, or wipe, do the thing. All of a sudden, you've got commercial after advertisement after advertisement after advertisement for the very thing you were just talking about, and you know you hadn't searched for it. They're just helping you out. They're just helping you. They know everything you're doing.
everything you watch. Anyway, I got news for you. Salvation only comes through that cross. Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Through the times and the changes of leadership, Jesus does not change. Christ is the same all the time. Listen, He served faithfully yesterday. He served faithfully. He died on the cross. He made atonement for your sins and mine. He served faithfully yesterday. How many of you know He serves faithfully today? He's interceding for you and I. This ought to freak us out. It ought to blow your mind. It ought to encourage you, Sonia, so much that the God of creation's Son, Jesus Christ, is seated at the right hand of God praying for you right now. Praying for me right now. How can we fail when Jesus is praying for us? He's praying for us right now. He's interceding at the right hand of God. And I got news for you. He will remain faithful whether we do or don't. He will remain faithful. He will never change. He will never change because of what He has done in the past and what He does in the present. He is sufficient for anything we need in the future. I just know that He will. Christ, if He never changes, then listen, neither can the new covenant that He initiated. If Christ doesn't change, His covenant doesn't change. The same blood that He used to establish the new covenant is the same blood that cleanses us and washes us from sin today. It's the same blood. He never changes. In verse 9, the passage warns, don't be carried away by all kinds of strange teaching. In order to resist strange teaching, you and I as believers have to be familiar with correct teaching. The Bible says very plainly, without apology, you study to show yourself approved, a workman rightly dividing the word of truth. Listen, here's a news flash. If you think I'm good enough and smart enough and as good enough of a preacher to get God's word in you enough to last until this time next Sunday, you are in big trouble. Because the information and the knowledge and all that I'm able to put across this sacred desk this morning might get you through the parking lot after service. But not much further than that. I know that I'm not the greatest orator and all those kinds of things. All I know is that I have to be your encourager. Somebody got me some... Oh, they're not here. Marcia and Laverne, I talked about being your cheerleader here a few weeks ago. And that night, they presented me with a set of pom-poms. Because... this thing's going to drive me nuts, I swear. I don't know how it keeps shortening up. I can't pull it this way, but it shortens up. Maybe I'm growing. Wow. That was true. Listen, church. In order to resist strange teaching, you have to know what correct teaching is. Listen, I listen to a song all the time, and it talks about the Bible on my dresser and ain't a coaster no more. And too often, that's really what it's... We've kind of just narrowed it down. Something to set my coffee cup on so I don't mar up my furniture. We got to get our Bibles down and wear them out. Some of us don't even write in our Bibles. Refuse to write. And that's fine. But get you one that you can. I mean, if you got a favorite one, that's all right. But man, wear the letters off the pages reading them. You got to learn. We have to take advantage of having the entire Bible and having Bible study tools. And as Christians, we as Christians suffer persecution, and we can join Christ in His suffering. We can suffer for the cause of Christ and go out to Him, like the Scripture said, outside the camp and bear the disgrace that He bore. Listen, we're talking about going and feeding the homeless people. How many of you know the homeless people might reject you? They might reject you. They might not want what you're handing out that day. We still have to go. We still have to offer. We still have to tell them with the physical about the spiritual. Because if we don't include the spiritual with the physical, all we're doing is handing out sandwiches. And there's no saving grace. There's no saving power, regardless of how much we pray over the sandwiches. The gospel has to go with the lunch. The good news has to be provided. I mean, they're a captive audience. They ain't going. Where are they going to go? Tell them. You and I have to stand with Christ. The original readers might experience disgrace because they seem to be abandoning their Jewish roots. Some of us are going to have to abandon some of the things in our life. We have to stop standing with the same old crowd sometimes. Hello? Sometimes we got to take a different path because that path has led me to trouble. You might experience disgrace because you're abandoning some of those traditions, but we could not cling to our roots and still worship the cross of Christ. I'm talking about the Jewish people. They could not cling to their Jewish roots and still worship the cross of Christ. The reason given for joining the suffering is that this world is not our home. This world, church, is not our home. This is more than just a passing point. It provides a key New Testament theme on our citizenship. I'm just a pilgrim. I'm a sojourner. I'm an alien. I'm a stranger in this place. Do we even realize that? This world's not our home. We're laying up treasure like we're going to be here forever. I got news for you. You ain't. We're not. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to die to get there. I'm in that category. I want to go to heaven. I'd just soon be raptured. I'm not crazy about the idea of dying. But if I go by way of the grave, I'm going to get there nonetheless. And I've made preparation for it. Philippians 3 and 20 and 21 teaches that our citizenship is in heaven. Listen to what it says. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior. What's my message title? Looking ahead. Are you eagerly awaiting the return of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will listen, this is the part I like right here. I wish you wouldn't even have put this up there because I wanted to just, you know. But I understand why you did it. Because I told you to do it. So I get that. But now I'm rethinking what I thought. Who will transform our lowly bodies that it may be conformed to His glorious body according to the working by which He is able to subdue all things to Himself? Are you looking for a new body? Are you looking forward to that day? I sure am. This one reminds me that it's wearing out every time I stand up. It reminds me again every time I sit down. It reminds me again every time I reach for this or reach for that. I'm reminded this thing's wearing out. In fact, if I'd have known I was going to live this long, I'd have took better care of myself. But I didn't. My goodness. We ought to be so tired, church, we should not be so tied to earthly privilege that we forget our heavenly loyalties. We should not be so tied to earthly privilege that we forget our heavenly loyalties. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 17 and chapter 2 and verse 11 teaches us that we are to live as foreigners and strangers in the world. This is not our home. We should not be so attached to our worldly possessions that we forget to obey Christ. Remember the rich young ruler, and he said, what can I do? He said, well, give everything you have to the poor and then come follow me. He's like, nah, I can't do that. That's a little extreme. That's a little radical. Well, what are you going to do if he calls you to do that? Are you going to forfeit heaven? No, he'd give it all to me to begin with. He'd give it all to me to begin with. I'm not saying, church, that we can't have possessions. I'm not saying that at all. I'm absolutely not. But what it is saying is that we can't be ahead of the will of Christ. We can't be so attached to them that we won't turn them loose. If God needs what you have, if somebody else needs what you have, you better be able to turn it loose. Life on earth is temporary. You're a foreigner. You're an alien in this place. It wouldn't be appropriate for us as Christians to grow comfortable here, and some of us have. We've grown way too comfortable here. Jobs, monies, homes, hobbies should not become the most important part of our life. I'm not saying go quit your job. I'm not saying sell your home. I'm not saying get rid of all your money. I'm not saying don't have any hobbies. But what I am saying, what God's Word is saying, is those things should not be in priority above what Christ would have you do. Amen. I'm just putting it out there. Christians should be like the heroes of faith that we discuss or could discuss in chapter 11 and spend our life looking forward to our city in heaven, which is yet to come. I'm looking forward to that day. If it came today, I would not be like, bummer. I'd be like, yeah. Can we all say that? We should not be, it means that we shouldn't be content or attached to this world because our lives here are temporary. We should eagerly expect the coming kingdom of God. We ought to be anticipating that, George, like nothing else. Only our relationship with God and our service to Him is what will last. The need for blood sacrifice ended with the cross, with Jesus' death. But Christians do have a sacrifice that you can bring continually. A sacrifice of praise. God wants us to offer ourselves, not animals, as living sacrifices. The problem with a living sacrifice is that most often they crawl off the altar. It's true. God wants you and I to offer ourselves. Here I am. We daily lay aside our desire to follow Him. How many of you know this? Sometimes His desire for your life is going to disrupt the normality of your life. Amen. All of a sudden, what I had planned to do isn't going to work because God has a different plan. And if we'll follow His plan will make your plan look like rubbish. Hallelujah. This all ought to be done out of gratitude that our sins have been forgiven. I know we're not supposed to live in the past, and I don't believe for a minute that we are. But I also don't believe that it's a bad idea to remember once in a while the pit that he dug you out of. Congratulations, Bruce. Good job, Butch. Good job, buddy. Amen. 29 years. 29 years of saying no to the addictions that the world has to offer. That's incredible. That is incredible. And we do this out of gratitude that our sins, your sins have been forgiven. Our sins have been forgiven. It didn't cost us a thing. Christ paid for it all. He alone makes our sacrifices acceptable. We do this with praise because we have been made acceptable to God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on your behalf and mine. So we continually offer sacrifice and praise. We confess His name and we show that we're loyal to Him. Let me close with this. John, you and Kathy can come. Wow. Let me close with this. This is my first closing. Romans chapter 12. I don't know how many times that. Thank you, Lord. See, that happens because the Holy Spirit wants us all to be awake for the altar call. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I was going to just read it, but I can't just read it because there's too much here to just read. He says, I beseech you. And we just read past that word because it's one of those old King James words that just it's just filling in. It's just taking up space so that the book's a little longer, but we don't really think about it too much and we don't give it a whole lot of time. We don't give it a whole lot of thought. But that word beseech literally means He's begging us. He is imploring us. He is pleading with us. Have you ever had to plead with somebody? Don't do it. Don't do this. Don't do that. You don't want to go there. You don't want this or that or the other. I beseech you is what you're saying. Paul is begging them. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to the church, folks. He's saying, brethren, by the mercies of God, has God been merciful to you, church? By the mercies of God, present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. Here's another one of those words, which is your reasonable service. When he's talking about your reasonable service, it's not elevated at all. It's just like the bottom of the barrel. It's just normal. It's just the commonplace service. It's just what everybody anywhere would expect, that reasonable service. Listen, our service to God ought to be way up here, church. Way up here. Which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed. Do not allow this world to compress you and to put you in their little box and clothe you with the things of this world. Don't be transformed or conformed, but be transformed. God, let something happen in my mind. Let something take place in this pile of flesh that you created that is for 60 some years been bent to go the other direction. But God, I don't want to conform to that. I want you to transform me, God, and give me something. Create something in me. God, give me a hunger and a thirst for more of you, for lost people, God. Do something down inside of me. I won't be satisfied with what goes on every day. But God, I pray you blow on the fire inside of me. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed. Renewing of our mind. How many of you this morning say, man, I need my mind renewed. I need my mind renewed. God, I think too many thoughts that I'm not sure you're... In fact, I know you're not pleased with them. God, some ideas that come across our gray matter, Lord, that are displeasing. Lord, I'm praying that God renew not only the preacher's mind, but God renew the mind of every individual in this house this morning. Every person watching by way of the internet this morning, God renew our mind so that we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In verse 1, there's an interesting word there, and it's the word therefore. That word therefore launches a new subject for us to discuss. It connects what is about to be said with what has already been said. Listen, let me just tell you something this morning. What you've heard this morning isn't some strange new teaching. You've heard it before. You've heard it before. This is connecting what has been said to what is about to be said with what has been said. And what has been said is this. Listen, this is a profound spiritual truth. I don't want you to miss it. I want you to write it down. I've had the tech people put it up on the screen so you can see exactly what is being said. And so what is being said is this. The world desperately needs to get right with God. The world desperately needs to get right with God. Here's the problem. If the world doesn't get right with God, they're going to hell. I got to take you back in Scripture. And the Bible says that God is therefore not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's what he said. I got news for you. Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father. He's in heaven. He said, I won't leave you alone. He said, I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you the paraclete. I'm going to send you the counselor, the comforter, the teacher. The paraclete. It's going to take you and I to tell the world they need to get right with God. The way that the way for the world to get right with God is clearly revealed through God's Son, Jesus Christ. This way is called justification. It is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's having God count your faith as righteousness. As believers in Christ, you and I can now be sanctified. The word justification means just as if it never happened. This word sanctified means we are set apart. We have been set apart to God and set free from sin to live eternally by the Lord Jesus Christ through the power of His Holy Spirit. Church, that's the freedom that we've been given by God. Listen, the believer or the church, we make up the church. We are individual believers. We make up the church. So the believer or the church, not Israel, is now God's choice to carry the gospel of his son to the entire world. He's commissioned us. He's laid it upon you and I to take this gospel out into the streets. This is the glorious message of how much God loves us and of what God has done for us. Listen, church, I don't know where you come from this morning. I don't know what you left at the house. I don't know what you're going back home to, but I know this much. I know your perspective. I know your eternal destination can change this very moment. The very things that you struggle with, God can get a handle on them. Listen, I'm not saying that if you'll surrender your life to Jesus, everything's going to go away and everything's going to be great. That's not what I'm saying. But it will be worth it all. It will change your perspective. It's what's meant by the mercies of God. The mercies of God are overflowing. They are beyond anything any one of us could ever desire. And to put these directions in motion means that we go against, listen, we got to go against the flow of society. There are fish leaving the Pacific Ocean right now. And they are going to fight and battle and go over log jams and dams and obstructions, all kinds of stuff. They're going to fight little flashy, shiny things in the water. They're going to fight these fake foods that somebody put in the water. They're going to go buy all of that stuff because they have a destination. It's at the headwaters. It's in their spawning ground. And they have to fight. And when they get there, their life is spent and they die. And what is left of them goes down the stream and nourishes all that is in there. What's going to be said of you when you die? Is your life going to continue to nourish those that feed on what you've done? Is your life, your legacy, church? If you drop dead today, what's the people going to say at your memorial? What legacy do you have? You can have a great legacy. Your legacy can start today. Don't go with the flow of society. I wasn't going to say this, but it's appropriate for the moment. Listen, they're trying to dumb us down, folks. They're passing things in government that says because of the color of your skin, you can opt out of taking this test or that test because we realize that it might be more difficult for you. That is about the biggest bunch of nonsense I've ever heard in my entire life. You and I were created. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what your nationality is. I know this. God said in His Word, you and I were created in His image, in His likeness, for His glory. He said, if you lack wisdom, ask me for it and I'll give it to you. That's what He said. Somebody was shocked the other day to find out my education or lack of. Because I can read and not comprehend. That's why I hate to read. Because I don't comprehend. It don't sink in the concrete. Well, how in the world do you pastor? I don't know. God just gives it to me by His Holy Spirit, I guess. I don't know, but I know one thing. God is no respecter of persons, Ray. He'll give it to you. God doesn't hesitate. Don't tune me out. God does not hesitate to confront us with a choice. Joshua said in the Old Testament, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. He said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. God will confront you with choice. Do you realize it's your choice today to go to heaven? Do you realize it's your choice to go to hell? That's not something you probably hear much come across the pulpit, but it's the truth. God's not going to send you to hell. You will go to hell based on your choice. My prayer is that you choose Jesus. The option is not whether we will conform. The option is not whether we will conform. Rather, the choice is to whom will we conform? Will my life, will your life follow the pattern of this world, or will it follow God's pattern? Bow your heads. God, help us. Help us, Lord, to receive your word today. Help us to receive the warnings that you send to us, O God. Help us to turn. Help us to seek your face. O Lord, your word declares that judgment begins in the house of the Lord. Lord, we need you every hour, every moment of every day. Heads are bowed, and eyes are closed, people pray. What is your answer today? What is your choice today? What is your choice? Well, Pastor, I don't really want to choose today. I want to give this some thought. Listen. You've thought long enough. Not going to give us another 5 minutes when he comes to rapture the church out of here. He's not going to send an angel ahead and say, hey, get ready. I'm coming for my people. Choose life. Choose today. Choose Jesus. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. People are praying. Let me ask you this question. If you've never accepted Jesus, if you've never on purpose surrendered your life to Jesus, if you've been just coming to church because mama wants me to come to church or daddy wants me to come to church, and because I come to church, I'm going to go to heaven. That's not going to work. You have to choose. You have to choose the payment. You have to choose what Jesus did by providing His blood for your atonement. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. He's coming soon, church. He's coming soon. Are you ready? Are you ready? If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up today because I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. I don't want you to leave here today not knowing where you're going to spend eternity. Anybody at all, preacher, that's me. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. Maybe you're here today and life happened and you followed the way of the world. You fell back into the pattern of the world, and morning you found your way back into a church one way or the other, and you're confronted again with the gospel. You realize that you're adrift at sea. Maybe you're lost in the forest. I don't know whatever analogy you want to use, but I want you to know today that Jesus is he's reaching out to you. And He's asking you today to recommit your life to Christ. You've not been too bad. You haven't made too many mistakes. But time's running short. And He's asking you today, will you choose me again? Will you recommit, rededicate your life to me and allow me to help you? If that's you today, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Yes, ma'am. Somebody else say, preacher, that's me. Today I'm here to recommit my life to Jesus. Anybody else? Preacher, that's me. If you raised your hand, I'm going to have you come meet me right here in front. Come on. Come on.